Hello and welcome to pod 20 of the official Palace pod. I'm Chris Grierson from Palace TV, which you can watch on YouTube, the Palace app, the eagles.cpfc.co.uk and all the social media channels. This week I'm recording the podcast from the gallery at Selhurst Park at the back of the main stand in the corner where the tunnel is. It's that little white collection of buildings. Terry Byfield is shuffling around next to me, ready for the live stream that we're preparing for as we record this, which will be the FA Youth Cup game, which you'll be able to watch live on Palace TV from 7pm if you're listening to this on the Friday. If you're listening after, I'm sure the highlights will be everywhere as well, and hopefully the lads get through to the next round. So coming up on the podcast today, we have got Christian Benteke talking about his recovery from the injury that has kept him out for 18 weeks. Obviously, he came on as a sub against Watford last weekend. We also hear from Patrick Van Aanholt, who spoke to Premier League Productions. Statman is going to pop up here and see me. And obviously, we will have Roy's weekly press conference. But yeah, let's hear from Patrick Van Aanholt.
Patrick, I'm afraid I have to start with last weekend against Watford. What happened? How did you end up losing that game?
Don't know. Happens. We had a game plan and I don't think we stuck to it. We had great chances to come ahead with 2-0, but unfortunately they scored the 1-1 and then I think they scored a slightly 2-1 after that straight away. So and after that start chasing the game. And in the end we came up short. Unlucky, but we moved on. Trained the whole week nice, so ready for Saturday.
Is it more disappointing when you play so well, particularly at home?
Yeah, of course it is. I think we did the right the whole game. We had a great game plan, but just near the end, we came up short, and it's obviously very frustrating. After we beat Wolves, we were like, we're on a good run now. But then we got a little setback again, and then we start over again.
The defeat means you guys are 14th, 4 points above the bottom three. Are you looking over your shoulder at all?
No, not at all. I think we're looking just forward each game by game. As long as we win our games that we need to win, then we'll be all right.
So let's look forward then. Liverpool this weekend. Now, both Vicente Guaita and Wayne Hennessy both might be injured, which means we might see Julian Spironi for the first time.
I don't know. The gaffer is going to make his team, I think, tomorrow or Saturday morning. Whoever's in goal will do a great job for us, I think. So we got to help him like he helped us, so we'll be all right.
If we do see Julian, he's not played for a long time. How's he been feeling this week? Is he ready and raring to go?
Yeah, Julian, he's always been ready. You know, he's a great goalkeeper, loads of experience, and he's been through the club for a long time. So they all know him very well. So he'll do a good job.
And looking at Liverpool, how do you prepare to face a team like them?
The same way we prepare for every game. We went to Man City, we beat them. They were the champions, so why can't we not do it again when we go to Liverpool? You know, so we just got to stick to our game plan and then we'll see what happens on Saturday.
Can you take us through the sort of preparation that you would do to face somebody like Liverpool? How much research and analysis and kind of stuff do you do in the week leading up to the game?
We start by Monday training and then Tuesday, Gaffer's session obviously, and then we got a couple of meetings. And then I don't want to go into too much detail, Thursdays, Fridays are the most sessions we mostly the Thursdays, we do the tactical sessions, and then we know what we're going to do on Saturday. And then Friday, we get the meetings and then get it done.
Do you look at specific threats, maybe from Liverpool, that you're thinking of countering?
Yeah, they all come in the meeting, you know. The meeting we had, we look at everything. So, like I said, I don't want to go into too much details. But, be well prepared for the game on Saturday, so we got another session tomorrow. Nice and sharp, and then we travel to Liverpool.
Is it different this time than the first meeting? Are they a different team? Are you a different team?
We played them at the beginning of the season, second game of the season it was, and we lost. So we learned from that, and I think we know what to do now to play against them. We play against Man City, we play against Man United, all the big teams already, so it's time to do it again.
The fact that you've beaten Man City not that long ago give you more confidence going into it?
Yeah, obviously, if you beat the champions at that ground, it's nice, you know. But like I said, it's just 3 points, and you go and do it again.
You could be directly up against Mohamed Salah. What is he like to play against?
Yeah, he's a great player. But yeah, I just gotta focus on my game plan and focus on what I'm gonna do on Saturday to shut him up at the game, and that's what I'm gonna try and do.
And that front three might be the quickest front three in the league. Does that change how you play?
Yeah, that front three play very well with each other. You know, they've scored loads of goals, and then they've got Shaqiri as well and Sturridge. So basically their front five has been top draw, to be fair. They're up there for a reason, so they've been very good.
Do you end up paying much attention to the other teams, the opposition teams in the league, or do you generally focus purely on your performances?
Obviously we look at other people's performances as well, but like I said, if we focus on our own performances and if we get the points we need to get, then we'll be all right.
Looking at Crystal Palace's record at Anfield, it's actually quite good. Apart from losing their last year, one of the last three in a row. Does that come into your thinking as you got there?
Yeah, it's the boys were talking about it today, actually. So our records at the Anfield has been good. Apart from last season, we lost. And after that, we've been top draw. So I'm looking forward to Saturday.
What have the boys been saying about the trip?
The trip? Oh, just like a normal trip, like every away game, innit? So we're just going to go there and play our own game, like we always do. Stick together no matter what happens.
And Liverpool themselves could be missing quite a few defenders in particular. Is that maybe something you can capitalise on if they have a bit of a makeshift back line?
Yeah, you never know what team you're going to play against, so I'm sure it will be a very strong team. So you just got to prepare very well and get ready.
The manager's going back to one of his old clubs. Has he brought that up at all this week?
No, he hasn't brought it up, yeah. He might do tomorrow in the meeting, so you never know.
And personally speaking, how would you evaluate your season so far?
Ups and downs. I can do better. But just got to focus on myself and do what's right for me. Step my game up and then I'll be all right.
Have you set yourself any personal targets between now and the end of the season?
Not really. I just got to focus on Palace and try to do my best for the team, you know.
I just wanted to ask about a couple of your teammates, starting with Wilfried Zaha. He hasn't scored since September. Is he doing something differently maybe from last season? How do you explain that?
I don't know, you know. He's training hard. He's scoring goals in training. So it's just a matter of time that he gets his goals on the score sheet in the game. And he's doing well. Wilf is a great player. He can score whenever he wants. But it's just the timing and the luck.
Do you think opposition teams are maybe doing more to try and counter him because they know how good he is?
Yeah, they always do. He always gets fouled a couple of times a game, and then you know how Wilf is. So, but he's just got to stay focused and wait for the opportunity to come. And when he comes, he's just got to take it.
And another one, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, exceptional again at the weekend. How impressed have you been by him this season?
Very impressive. Well, I've called it from day one. I knew how good he was when he first trained with us. But we call him long legs because his tackles are unbelievable. No, he's been top draw this season, and he's been one of the good right backs in the whole league, in my eyes. But he's young, he's settled in very well, and they make the right back spot his.
What was it about him that impressed you so much?
Everything. He's just his age. He's calm on the ball. He doesn't care. He takes people alone. He tackles in. He's like he's been with us for years. You know what I mean, but it's just basically his first full season in the Prem, and he's been doing it very well.
Patrick Van Aanholt there. Now a little bit more about the gallery that I'm sat in today. This is what controls what goes out on the big screen on a match day and all the screens throughout the lounges. Terry Byfield is director. Would you say you're director on a match day up here, Tal? Production manager, official title. So, he'll stand behind the director who will choose everything that goes up. We've got to make sure we don't show any replays on the screen that we shouldn't do. The PA announcer, Mike Rankin, also does his stuff from up here, looking at the pitch. The analysts sit up here. And then there's a whole room where all the Palace media teams sit and watch the game. And we're behind glass, which means we don't really get as much of the atmosphere as we would like. But it does get pretty rowdy up here sometimes in some games. Anyway, that's me waffling on. Let's hear from someone else who's doing a better job. He's not just waffling on. He's talking about his recovery from injury. So these are all the outtakes from the video that you might have seen on YouTube and Palace TV.
The first time where I felt my knee was at the end of last season. I can't really remember if it was a kick or a bad landing, but where we came back for this preseason, when I scored during our preseason in Sweden, I felt something quite sharp. So I had to go out, and then it got worse. And then I tried to settle down by just working in the gym, by trying to get my quad stronger. You can play through the pain where you can cope it, or you can play through the pain but where you won't give your best, where you won't perform, and I end up being that in that situation where I will be on the pitch, but I won't be 100%. It didn't work out for me because the knee was getting swelling and bigger and bigger. I've done everything that I could to avoid the surgery, and it didn't work out. That was more frustrating because when I watch the game or if the team lose, it's just hard because you feel like you are not with them really. You are like a fan. You are like just behind your TV or in the stands. So it was more about that frustration that you can't do anything. Yeah, the only way to stay positive it was just to work hard really, and to think about the last stage, like when you're out, when you're almost there. I really work hard every day. I was here. And my only focus was just to come back and help the lads. Yeah. I saw him when I came back from my small rehab in France. I saw him in the treatment room. We spoke together, and he was aware and he was concerned about my injury. He was not coming every day because obviously he has to take care of the lads because they are playing, they are fit, but. He was close to me, and when he got the chance to come and speak with me, he was there. So I think it was nice from him. My game will change definitely because I'm stronger. There is always a positive thing and negative thing. The negative thing, I was out, but the positive thing was that I can focus about my body, about how I can approach the game, how I can change my game, how I can be better on the pitch. So while I was out in the gym, I was thinking about, okay, when you will be back, how you will get the best of you, of myself, on the pitch and help the team. Now my knee's 100% back, even stronger than before. I'm excited, but I know where I'm coming from. I know all the work that I put to be here. So. It's more that I'm looking forward to be back.
And that was interesting from Christian Benteke, wasn't it? Okay, now Statman is going to head up and join me. Play the jingle. I'm a Statman. He's here. He's in the gallery. Welcome to the Crystal Palace Gallery, Statman. How are you finding it?
I feel that you are so at home here, aren't you? This is your lair. We are here. Just to picture the scene, we've got about 27 cameras here, and Chris is watching everything at Selhurst Park. Can you just explain that?
Well, I have already earlier in the pod, sadly. There's loads of screens here. Well, it's not me that's watching you. Tell, who is it that's watching you? We're watching you.
Yeah, we're watching you. Yeah.
Watching us.
That's the line. It's the famous Byfield line.
Watching us.
Yeah, welcome. You got some stats?
I've got stats, yeah. But firstly, we'll just talk about your predictions last time. You're a bit confident, weren't you?
3-0 Palace. 3-0 yeah.
Palace.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Apologies, yeah.
Yeah.
Got a bit carried away, I think.
Yeah, I did. I'm not going to do any today.
No. Okay. Well, that's absolutely fine. Let me stat you first.
Go on then, hit me with it. And then hit me with your stat stick.
I'll hit you with my stat stick. So firstly, Liverpool then. It's a weird one, isn't it? I think when you talk to Palace fans, they would say, yeah, cracking record, don't we love playing against Liverpool, and so many happy memories. And there was a great record, certainly for a period. Recently, though, Liverpool have had the rub of the green. So they've won 5 of the last 6 Premier League games against Palace, and also the last 3 in a row. What I'm clinging on to, though, from Palace point of view, is that they've never won 4 consecutively against the Eagles in the top flight. That's me being positive.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, you're not being very positive there. Yeah.
Well, that's... Yeah, well... Wow. What do you... I don't know.
Is that not much enthusiasm?
It doesn't really mean anything, does it? Each game is an individual thing, and doesn't that, the past game shouldn't have a bearing on it.
I mean, you just demean this whole section, haven't you? I don't know why I'm here, really.
What are you doing here? I just want to chat to tell. All right, carry
watch
on.
People. Yeah, but let me flip that, and let's look at Palace at Anfield. Now, this is a good little record. We've won 3 of the last 4 Premier League visits to Anfield, so... That's not too bad. That's something to cling on to. But Liverpool in fantastic form, aren't they? They're looking to win 7 consecutive Premier League home games for the first time since January 2014. They are on their second longest unbeaten run at home ever. The longest one was 63 games, which was between 1978 and 1980. This now currently stretches to 31 Premier League home games. And in the last 16 Premier League home games, they've kept 12 clean sheets. So 12 out of 16 games at home have been clean sheets. In those other 4, before you throw some sort of comment in.
I haven't got one.
No, he's not got a comment, so I might as well keep talking. They've only conceded once. So a team's struggling to put more than a goal past them here.
That is incredible.
The defence is unbelievable. And I am... So I often get given some stats... Obviously, by our official Premier League partners for statisticians, Opta. I found this one, and it is correct before I get dug out on this. So, in Virgil van Dijk's last 31 matches, that is in Premier League, FA Cup, and on international duty, not one player has dribbled round him in the last 31 matches. Not one player.
I'm trying to think of a way of saying, is that impressive? I suppose he plays in the middle, doesn't he? So, yeah. Fullbacks get dribbled around, don't they?
They do. Well, let me put that into context. So, Toby Alderweireld, he averages, he gets dribbled past 0.6 times every Premier League game and once every Champions League game. So, put it into context, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's good. That's interesting. Games.
Will Wolf be the first man to dribble past him?
We'll find out.
We will find out.
Could be James McArthur.
Well, yeah, that's nice and optimistic, yeah. It could, it could.
I'm Mr. Optimism.
right, let me throw some more your way then. The man to watch then. So many forwards, so many much attacking talent on show tomorrow. Sadio Mane, though, is the one from a Palace point of view we certainly need to watch. He loves playing against us. We're actually his favourite team to play against.
Did you ask him that? Well, what's your favourite team to play against?
Yes, I've asked Sadio Mane who your favourite team is to play against.
Okay.
And do you know what he said? You know what he answered me with? He said, yes, Stato, they are my favourite team.
You're not Stato, you're Statman.
Well, you don't know what Sadio Mane said to me, do you?
Well, he's confusing you with a guy from the 90s on fantasy football with Badil and Skinner. You're not Stato, you're Statman, okay? So, know your place.
And you've had the conversation.
Come up here in my lair.
Yeah, to be fair. It's like coming to the den up here, isn't it? There's just a picture scene. There's all the production team here. This is his crowd, isn't it?
Well, actually, Callum over there is a Liverpool fan. Callum, what's the danger from Liverpool today? Tomorrow. Yeah. All of them. Okay.
Which player in particular?
James Milner,
who probably will be playing, yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, Callum. Yeah. That's Callum's last day tomorrow. So,
for his... he's joining?
Yeah, he's going to Spurs.
Yeah, that's enough said, really, isn't
it?
Yeah,
I know. Yeah. But how kind that we let him have his last day as Liverpool away, as a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, that is lovely, actually. That's really nice of us.
It's all right, though. His second team's Brentford.
Yeah. We're clinging on to that. Right. Should I tell you the rest of my Sadio Mane conversation or not?
Oh, yeah. Cool. What did really he say after you told him, after you flattered him by saying, whatever he said, something about favourite? What was it?
I don't want to speak to any other production guys here. You know,
we'll do that. I've spoken to Sam Jordan, had his own feature once called What's Your Job? which you can watch somewhere. Is it online? Still? It's on YouTube, yeah. He thinks it's on YouTube, like he hasn't watched it once a month.
Right, come on. Sorry. Right. Enough of this. Let me finish it. Sadio Mane, he's scored 6 goals against us. And that's the most goals he scored against any opponent.
Could say that we're his favourite team to play against, I guess.
Well, he says that.
Yeah, oh, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I guess you could say that, because stats mean something. Can we take something out today? Stats mean something, Chris.
Yeah.
That's okay. What I'm here.
Have you got any more?
No, but I want to finish on a little story.
Oh, God. Okay, go on then.
Is that allowed in this segment?
Is this what you do on the match day in the lounges?
I do.
Sorry, I've given away your identity.
You do. It's been given away, though. I got noticed for the first time.
Did you?
Yeah, someone came up to me.
No.
And broke my cover.
What, they recognised your voice?
They did. They said, "Are you Statman?" And he loved it. Lovely gentleman.
And you obviously said, no.
No, I love the photo.
Of course you
did. Oh, we got a photo and everything.
Oh,
it was really
no,
good.
That is disgusting.
Listen, Chris, I'm not used to your fame, okay? It's hit me and I've run with it. I've absolutely run with it.
You got a blue tick yet?
No, neither have I. No, I was going to say. We as a club only just have one, don't we?
Don't you? You're criticising Samuel Jordan's social media manager there.
To be fair, I'm criticising everyone in the room here. It's a tough place to come, like I said. Making enemies.
Yeah, you're an away fan today.
Yeah.
Right, what have you got?
Can I make this point then? So, this is a weird story, but I'll tell it anyway. So, you'd think it's a lovely one, okay? So, it's just come up in the news, BBC News, I got this one. It sounds like a lovely gentleman. His name's Bernard Sheridan, and he was 104 recently. Now, Liverpool Football Club, and Jurgen Klopp in particular, sent him a birthday cake, they sent him a signed card, thanking him for his support. He's been a fan for 96 years, Chris. 96 years.
That's a lot of years.
Amazing. And they gave him tickets to the game tomorrow. Liverpool versus Palace. All a lovely story, you're thinking.
Yeah, lovely story.
Where are you going? How do we end this and get you out of this segment? Yeah, that's what you're thinking. Let me tell you what he said then. And again, I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but he said this. Thank you. Yeah, all that. Thanks, Jurgen. Thanks for all that. Lovely. All that. That's not a genuine quote, but I'm sure he said that before. He said this: the icing on the cake will be when we beat Crystal Palace.
What?
That was said. Now, if I'm Roy Hodgson, I print this off. I put this up in the changing room. I say, let's show that old man.
Exactly. Let's show Bernard, 104 years old, that he shouldn't be so cocky.
There you go. Exactly. My thoughts entirely. So, my prediction beforehand, and I'll make it, I wasn't actually that confident. I think they're unbelievable, Liverpool. Off the back of that, I'm saying we do him. And we show Bernard Sheridan who we are. We're Palace.
Yeah, point to him in the stands.
Yeah, run over to him. He's having a lovely day with his family. Run over. There you go, son. Yeah, we're Palace.
Bernard, okay, so you don't want a prediction from me. Anyone else got a prediction? Ben Mountain, who writes for our website. He's written loads of really good articles, actually. Ben, what's your prediction for Palace against Liverpool?
Going to stuff him just to show Bernard, aren't we?
Yeah, cheers, Ben. We're going to stuff him just to show Bernard. Everyone agrees with that. We're probably inciting violence, so shall we end it?
Yeah.
Let's go to something a little bit more calm and serene. We're going to go to Roy Hodgson's weekly press conference at the training ground, which was thrilling.
No, that's enough, basically. No, luckily there aren't any new ones.
How are they? What's the likelihood?
Well, they're making very good progress, but of course, too early after just a week for them to have made this game. But we're working hard on them, and I don't know, there's no time scale. You don't get time scales from your medical department on muscle strains, because they can't be 100% certain when the strain's going to be all cleared up and they're ready again to play. But we're working hard on it, so we'll take it week by week, and we'll see if we can get them fit for next week, and if not, we'll have to work for the week after.
And am I right in thinking you're close to securing a loan deal for Luca Perry?
Yeah, that's been going on for some while, that one. It's a young goalkeeper that, when Doug Freeman was doing some scouting work in South America, he came across this goalkeeper and like the look of him, and there was talk then about him maybe coming out here and spending some time with us initially on loan so we could have a look at him, and it's taken strange enough, this amount of time to bring that about. So it's a, quite a coincidence in a way that it's coincided with the injuries to the two goalkeepers. The two events are in no way aligned, other than it's taken us a time to get the loan deal with his club in South America sorted out, and we're hopeful now that we'll be able to bring him here.
But not before the weekend, presumably?
No. It's never been a question of that.
And does that mean Speroni's likely to start against Liverpool then?
Yes. I hope he does. He's the one we've got.
And
at one point, he's a good goalkeeper too, so we're very fortunate. We're much more fortunate than many clubs that to have a goalkeeper of his quality and his experience to go in as the third goalkeeper. That's pretty fortunate. Most clubs these days, they have two goalkeepers and the third one is often a young guy who has got very little experience. We've got a man who's played over 400 times for the Palace and is still in very good shape.
He's not though played since December 2017.
No.
Any concerns that, obviously you don't have much choice, but any concerns about his lack of game time, match practice?
Well, that happens with goalkeepers, unfortunately. It happens even with second goalkeepers. Often if they're behind a goalkeeper who's buttoned down his position and, you know, he's playing week after week, and we've got lots and lots of examples of that, you know, the Czechs and the Schmeichels and these guys in the past, they hardly ever missed a game. So if you happen to be the second goalkeeper behind them, the chances are that when you get your chance, people are going to say, well, he hasn't played for a long period of time. But that doesn't bother me particularly. I mean, Julian is a very, very active goalkeeper, and certainly in our training sessions, I don't notice any difference in him now than I did a year ago when he played. But it's a tough ask. There's no question of that. And in an ideal world, you would not be thrusting him into this game. You'd be hopefully easing him into a game, but we have no choice, and I'm happy that we've got him.
How's he taken to the challenge?
Oh, he's looking forward to it. I mean, Julian's a match player. He has confidence in himself. He knows he's a good goalkeeper. He's got great pride in what he's achieved as a goalkeeper, in particular at this club where he is an absolute legend in every respect. So I think he's happy to have got the chance, and I'm pretty sure he'll be working very hard to make certain that he stays in contention, even when the other two become fit again.
And in terms of the transfer window, are you expecting to bring anyone else in now?
I'm not expecting. We've got two more weeks, like everybody else, and the work will continue to see if there's any possibilities out there that suit us. So nothing changes in that respect. But to say I'm expecting it, then I would have to have a definite name in the frame who's on the verge of signing, and that certainly is not the case.
Is a striker still your main priority?
Yes. Yes, we feel that we need to improve in that area of the field. So we would ideally like another midfield player and a striker, because our squad has become remarkably small. You know, we are down to 18 outfield players because we've let, since the summer, we've let 8 players go. And in this particular transfer window, we've let 5 players go and possibly a 6th. So that's a lot of players to lose. Albeit that they're not players that have been featuring regularly in the team, but to take that many players out of your squad, it leaves us somewhat bare on the ground.
Are you looking at loan deals only, or is it a possibility you could buy it as well?
At the moment, there's no talk of us buying, but things can change even in that respect between now and then, but at the moment there's been no talk of buying a player.
And can I just get your thoughts on Marcelo Bielsa's revelations this week? What did you make of it all?
Same as what everyone else makes of it, I suppose. I mean, you don't spy on other people. That's the bottom line. You don't spy on governments. You don't spy during times of warfare. Spying is a word that basically one should be very wary of using, because it's such a negative word. It's got such negative undertones, and how there is even any suggestion that spying on someone who does not want you to be spying on them, who does not want you to be watching what they're doing, how that can even be considered as justifiable is amazing to me. I thought we had situations in this country as well where we talked about bringing the game into disrepute. Sneaking into other people's training grounds to see what they're doing and see what team they're going to play against you, and to get advantage like that, for me, I just do not understand it at all. And I expect the governing bodies to do something about it.
Have you come across it before in your career?
No.
Have you ever suspected that maybe somebody's watching your training?
Oh, of course. Of course, I'm not naive, and especially with national teams, you're always aware that when you do the training session the day before the game at the stadium, it's very difficult to monitor a stadium, so you're always aware that there could be some people from the opposition watching on. I'm not saying that I don't understand or don't realise that spying goes on in the world. I think it goes on in all walks of life. From what I can understand, in the commercial world, it's a major problem for companies, that other companies are spying on what they're doing and trying to take advantage from it. The thing I don't understand is how anyone could even suggest for 1 minute that it's a reasonable thing to do, and that we, in the game of football, should accept it, that this is something which, when it happens to you, you should congratulate the other manager on doing his preparation work, as if to say we don't do preparation work on our teams. So, for me, I don't understand it at all. I don't understand how it can even be suggested that it's anything other than wrong.
What do you think should happen to be able to...
Oh, well, that's nothing. No, I'm not prepared to go into that. This is a question for the authorities. It's being dealt with, I guess. We have a football association. There's a football league and a Premier League. It's for these people to decide what they think should be done. I'm just answering your question. What do I think about it? I find it totally impossible to understand, and totally impossible to understand how people can suggest in any way whatsoever that it's the thing to do.
Okay.
I guess that answers the question.
It does.
Right, okay, good.
Emma from the BBC.
Hello, Roy.
Hi.
How do you prepare to play Liverpool at Anfield?
Well, playing them at Anfield or playing them here, that doesn't make a vast difference in terms of our preparation, because we're playing the same 11 players. And obviously, away games are often harder to get results in than home games, but that isn't always the case either. And you prepare by making certain that you do as much research and homework you can do on the team, so that you can prepare your players for what they're likely to meet, both in the attacking phase, defensive phase, and the set play phase. And you do that, of course, by using all the video evidence that we have, and also using the knowledge that you have of the players, many of whom, of course, have been in the league for a long time and are players that we know. And then you use your week's training to try and make certain that any tactical considerations that you think are going to be particularly important in the game, if you're going to get a result from the game, you rehearse them on the field of play, as well as in your pre-match meetings where you're presenting the team, making certain that the players, when they go on the field, know as much as possible about the opposition and what they're likely to come across, and that they will then feel as ready as they possibly can be to deal with it.
So what you know about Liverpool in that case is they have very talented players, and they're playing particularly well at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. And the unfortunate thing in this league is that goes quite often for the team you're meeting on a Saturday or a Sunday. So it's nothing new for us to be preparing for a game where we have enormous respect for the opposition and enormous respect for the season they're having and the way they're playing. It's nothing new for us. And it's part and parcel of being in the Premier League. And if you're in the second half of the table rather than the first half of the table, you know you face an uphill battle when you meet teams of Liverpool's calibre.
How much confidence, though, can you take into this match, knowing that you beat Manchester City at the Etihad not that long ago?
You're always going to win some games during the course of a season. I think to say, yes, I took a lot of confidence from that, I'd have needed to have played that game up there and dominated it from start to finish and, really just driven Manchester City out of sight. That wasn't the case. We scored very good goals and defended well against a team that had the lion's share of the play. I would think that's the sort of task that we need to prepare ourselves for again, because it would surprise me if Liverpool, the way they're playing, don't have the lion's share of possession and, you know, be the dominant force in the game. So we have to work hard like we did at Manchester United before the Man City game to make certain that we defend well and that we are then ready to take our chances and ready, when we have the ball, to try and exploit any space that maybe Liverpool have left because they're going forward more than we are.
Crystal Palace do have quite a good record at Anfield. I think they might be the last top flight team, Premier League team, to beat them
right
at home. And you, as a manager, have a good record as the visiting manager to Anfield. I don't know if you think that has any bearing at all on...
No, I don't think it has any bearing. I've said this on many occasions. You know, I think that you can learn lessons from history, but the fact that you've had some success historically doesn't give you the right to have any future success. And I can remember a couple of games at Liverpool where I've gone with other teams and done okay, but I couldn't give you my exact record as a visiting manager at Liverpool. I'm not aware of what that is, because I've got to say that my record as a visiting manager, or my past record playing various clubs, it never seems to have any real effect upon me in the present day. You know, this is the current Liverpool team playing the current Crystal Palace team. Injuries to both teams, which will affect them to some extent, and of course forms of both teams, which affect to some extent. So each game is very much a new game. So I think those statistics that you give me, they're nothing more really than filling up the newspapers or filling up the airtime and you know, giving people something to talk about. But I don't get any feeling that, well, because my last game at Liverpool was a successful one, this is going to be like that. We'll need to play for it, unfortunately.
How disappointed were you that you couldn't bring Dominic Solanke here this month?
I've spoken about that. It was a decision that was made by the club. We pursued him to the extent that we thought we could pursue him, but at the end the club made the decision that it wasn't possible for us to do the transfer deal, and I accepted it. So there's nothing more to say on that subject.
Can you give us an insight into how difficult it is for you, what the January transfer window is like? Are you a fan of it?
I don't know whether I'm a fan of it or not. I mean, I think I'm too pragmatic to decide whether I'm a fan or not. It is what it is. We have decided that the transfer business in this country will be done at the end of a season for a period of time, and again in January. So at the start of the season, I knew that was going to be the case. So I've been prepared for it, and as have everyone else at the club, Doug Friedman, the chairman, everyone who deals within the transfer market, and they work to do the best they can within the current situation.